The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, I don't approve of it.
Loveline. The world's therapy couch since 1984. Loveline. Dr. Drew Pinsky. Medical doctor, philosopher, philanthropist, certified addiction specialist, the king of transformational media.
Mike
Catherwood, a former addict, current fitness guru, the ringmaster of a psychosexual addictive personality big top.
Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Yes, get on with it.
Yes, it is Loveline. What's up, everybody? 1-800-LOVE-191 is, in fact, the number. Dr. Drew, do you have something to say?
No. Oh, yeah, you live.
Yeah.
Of course.
Push your daddy, bitch. Oh, you live. Yes!
Like, I thought you meant I had something actually specific to say, not just you live.
I was thinking about something this morning as I was listening to the Howard Stern radio show, as I am wont to do.
Yeah.
And he was playing some random Baba Booey's.
Yes.
And
did one of ours show up?
No. It's been a while since I've had a prominent Baba Booey in the media. I was thinking, and I encourage the Loveline audience to do this. This weekend, Dr. Drew, we were in Las Vegas, and there were so many just random "You Lives" that got screamed out.
Yes, it was nice, huh?
I would love if that becomes our Baba Booey.
Oh, it already
if
has.
Like if I turn on a radio show, or excuse me, a television show one day, and
just scream
you know,
out,
I
you
see
live.
Some ridiculously hot chick throughout the Southland somewhere, or. Yeah, and reporting live from the bank robbery here in Pico Rivera. You live, just like
my cat with those volcanoes. Just you live will be fine.
Yeah,
I think so.
Next time Eric Andre's on like a real talk show, I just want one. Well, thank you, Bill O'Reilly.
You live.
Just want to say you live.
It
our
could
friends
be a greeting too. It could be all kind. But you live is much more application than Baba Booey.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Like, there's no.
There's
either, if you're not a Stern listener and someone Baba
like,
Booey's
no.
you,
yeah.
you're stuck.
It stops, yeah. You live can be like aloha, mahalo, right? It has that kind of potential.
So there you go.
I want it to become the new aloha, mahalo, whatever,
yeah.
And Baba Booey.
And when someone calls you on it, you can't go, okay, well, you got to listen to Loveline. You just got to
figure out a way to talk around you.
You live too.
Anyway,
you live. Yeah.
Just the way they greet us on the
show.
I'm
just letting you know you in fact live.
Yeah. You and I have to do it like regularly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Tonight, big show, important show, I think.
Yeah.
Dr. Mark Gordon joins us, and he brings with him Jordan Cordova, who is a United States veteran, a veteran of the United States military, and he has received brain trauma.
And this is a topic that we talk around an awful lot, many of the Loveline callers, and we wanted to dedicate some time to really getting into it a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's interesting to me. I was talking to Dr. Gordon, one of the really fortunate moments that this developed on this day, 3 days after Ellis Mania, or 2 days after, you had your own traumatic brain injury over the weekend, and he wants to talk to you about that.
Okay.
And Dr. Gordon himself has had traumatic brain injury, so he's had very personal experiences with this and the protean effects it has had. And maybe you're not feeling quite yourself right now, Mike. You know, I saw.
I am definitely.
Your video
very,
is
bit
up.
Irritable.
Have you seen the video, Mike? If you look up Ellis Mania 10 and watch the video, you'll see Mike getting three solid traumatic brain injuries. I mean, where your feet, your knees went crumbled a little bit.
Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely like I have to give my right foot a lot of credit for keeping the rest of my body up because my left foot and my hips were definitely wiggly.
There was one point where Griffin, what's his first name?
Forrest Griffin
goes, turn him. And he blasted you. And man, you just turned right around.
Yep. Jason just turned me right around.
That's the one in the solar plexus that still hurts, right?
Yep. That's a, and yeah, when I breathe deeply, my upper chest still hurts. Listen, that's a fun topic, but all kidding aside, that's baby poop compared to the idea of the brain injuries that
it is. But I think Dr. Gordon will point out that we don't pay enough attention to head injuries,
mm-hmm.
and many of us have protean effects that we may not consider as part of that, and something to think about.
Yeah, and what is kind of No, I don't want to say blindly, but what oftentimes can be just passed off as PTSD right. from the emotional psychological side effects yeah. of warfare
yeah.
can sometimes actually be brain injuries.
Of course.
Yeah. So that very, very interesting and obviously very important considering the clientele that we're discussing, you know, the brave men and women that fight for our country. So that is all on tonight's show. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Let's start things off with Brianna. Brianna, hello. Oh, sorry, Brianna. Yes. Hello.
All right. So I have a quick question. I love having sex with my boyfriend, and he's been asking me if he can put it in, you know, my butt.
In your butt.
Hold
Fantastic.
On. The love line's
right in your butt.
That. That's shocking.
Yeah. And we went to Vegas last week, and I tried letting him do it, but it honestly hurt. So
wait a second. Wait a second. I'm not gonna sit here and tolerate you making these bold claims that a man tried to put a penis in your rectum and it hurt. I don't buy it.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I want some tips because I really want to try it with him.
Okay.
Do you have any tips or is it even healthy to, you know, do that?
I'm not the man of science in this room right now. I don't know if it's healthy or not, and I'm not prepared to make that claim, but I do think that it's natural for you to have some pain. Like, that is kind of par for the course. I think that the number one thing you should be working on, obviously outside of lube, it was that...
Oh, there it goes. Go outside. She's looking at the fight.
This is great radio, guys. Thank you. Thank you, executive producer and co-host
of
the show.
I thought I turned the sound off.
Okay.
I thought I had. I apologize. But listen, you're right, Mike, that being gentle and slow and having lubricant probably isn't necessary. But, you know, anything that causes pain is your body telling you perhaps you should avoid that because it's tissue damage often that causes pain or at least impending tissue damage. And as long as it's painful, you might want to avoid it.
Dr. Drew's penis actually has on it impending tissue damage. When you unfold it, it just reads along the side
impending
like a, on the fuselage of his massive wow. veiny hog.
Wow. Okay then.
All right. Thank you.
Of the Pinsky meat plane.
Thank you. Bye.
Listen, if you're into it, hold on. If you're into it, make sure you lube up. Make sure are you under or over 21?
I'm 20. I'll
okay.
be 21.
Then don't use the Mike Catherwood anal protocol,
uh-oh.
Which is lube, booze, enema.
No.
You just booze and enema. Just lube and enema.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, make sure that area is clean. And then make sure you lube up and make sure you use a good water-based lubricant.
Oh,
and
somebody's paging her now.
Yeah, that's the boyfriend who wants anal.
Yeah.
And make sure that you, like, make sure you try your
She's
best
like,
to
are
relax.
Are you on Loveline right now?
Make sure you try your best to relax. And if you can't, then don't do it.
Don't do
like,
it.
Like, honestly, don't do that.
Lots of pathology later in life for women to look forward to without all this activity. So just, it's, your body, just
all
listen,
right.
listen to your body, right?
All right. Thank all right. you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
I want to talk to Dr. Drew. What do you think about this for an open forum this evening?
Okay.
Guys who've lost their libido. No? Too dark?
We need to cleanse our palate after all the traumatic brain
unfortunate sexual farts.
Well, that cleanses the palate.
One time we did that, both, Anderson, of course, because he's
yeah.
not a guy and he hates farts. And then you were like, this is going to be... And it turned out to be a great
open
forum.
No, it was a good one. How about unfortunate sexual noises?
Okay.
So that puts a whole couple other spectrums on there. Okay?
Unfortunate,
embarrassing, funny,
sexual noises.
There's many different things could go on. What?
Are there many? Because I know of two. Queef, fart.
Well, burps, vomits, sort of abdominal.
Yeah, but
things.
If you vomit during sex, is it really
be,
the noise?
Be,
the like.
But you listen. You want to limit it just farts, but we're going to expand it out to what's the matter, Anderson?
I was making out with a girl once, the first time ever, and she had a big black lab, and it farted very loud.
Yeah, unfortunate. You know, it could be other things in the room. It could be people's vocalizing
Babies.
Gets distracting.
Okay. How about
you know,
weird
sounds people come out of their mouth?
How about embarrassing sexual interruptions?
No, sounds. Sounds. Stay with it. Trust me. This. I rarely push on one.
All right.
I think this would be interesting.
Rarely push on one.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I insist upon it. I mean, it sounds, right. Vocalizations, right? People
hey,
make
LARPer,
funny sounds.
Hey, LARPer McGee, our phone op. Did you hear that? Insane phone op of ours, LARPer. Did you hear that our open for him
is... She's busy screening calls. I'll run out and tell her during the break.
Is she more kooky than we ever believed, Drew?
Possibly.
Like, in a totally not threatening way. I mean, she's a good
Listen,
person.
Listen, that podcast they're doing?
Yeah.
It's getting some traction.
They're very interesting people.
Yeah.
They're both bonkers.
And smart.
Bat, feces, bonkers.
I don't know that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you say so.
Want me to tell you something?
Yes.
Rune is a man who lives by himself, who has a cat on purpose. And then, instead of going, yeah, you're right. I mean, look, I love my cat. It's awesome. It's a great pet. Of course, I prefer to have a dog. He goes, no, cats are better.
That's common. That's him being funny.
Or he's a Nazi or something. Hello.
He's an ISIL.
Hello, Christina.
Hi. What's going on?
Why am I hearing like an audience?
Sorry. You know, I'm in the car here on my Bluetooth. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
That's the window. My question was, when I started going to the bathroom, maybe this has gone on for about like 2 years on and off. I started like realizing there was blood coming out with my, you know.
Poo? Urine or poo?
Yeah.
Your poo.
Yeah.
All right. So that's, in your age group, that's typically a hemorrhoid. However, you need to get checked because sometimes it can be clotting abnormalities that lead
to blood clots.
So yeah. I actually, sorry to interrupt, but I did go to the doctor for it and he did say it could be a hemorrhoid. The thing he also said was maybe I was having too much anal.
That's the first thing physicians bring up these days.
I'm glad we're keeping the theme alive.
Oh,
two calls.
That's what I called because I was like, I started doing anal. Like at first it used to hurt, you know, and then it started feeling better. And let's just say that
Playing the guitar. First time I picked up the sixth string,
tough.
It's the end of my fingers were on fire, but you just got to stick with it. It's got to have determination.
Exactly.
Got to coarsen up the butthole.
You're going to want it. And and eventually I started doing that. And then one day I started kind of like feeling a little bit like, you know, pain the next day. Like sometimes it's hard to go to the bathroom the next day or.
All right. That's all hemorrhoids. Listen, you're describing hemorrhoids. Okay. And is there a question or are you just calling in to support the other caller?
No. I'm just wondering. So I should just continue. And
No, hemorrhoids can become terrible. And you need an operation. It can be a mess.
Okay. You just see the doctor.
Yeah, okay. Be careful. And plus, you can lose a sufficient amount of blood that, you know, you need to take some iron supplements or the bleeding can become brisk or maybe it's a fissure or a tear and you think it's
you say it brisk?
Brisk.
Oh.
Become brisk. Thank you for the prayer over the blessing over this young lady.
LOVE191 is the number to call us here. A brave Dr. Mark Gordon has been working with veterans studying hormone deficiencies from brain injuries caused in war. He's been on ESPN's Outside the Lines. MillenniumHealthCenter.com is his website. Jordan Cordova, a veteran of the United States military, joins us as well. It's going to be a very interesting show here on Loveline.
Sorry, that number is no longer in service. You'll have to find a new boyfriend.
Loveline's coming back.
Hi, I'm Shawnee O'Neill, inviting you to check out my new podcast with my friend Stella. It's the Mogul Moms Playbook. This is for all the superwomen out there juggling kids, career, parenting, and relationships. We know it's not easy, so we got your back. So join us and our celebrity friends for a little moral support, helpful tips, encouragement, advice, and a bunch of laughs. Download new episodes of Shawnee and Stella every Tuesday at iTunes and PodcastOne.com.
From the Oscar-winning screenwriter of 12 Years a Slave comes television's next great groundbreaking drama.
I'm trying to find out who killed our son.
One crime will affect so many lives.
You need to be the voice for people who do not have a voice.
American Crime, series premiere Thursday, March 5th at 10, 9 Central on ABC. And experience the weekly American Crime Podcast hosted by Elvis Mitchell with an inside look at each episode. Subscribe now at podcastone.com/American Crime.
LOVE191 is the number to give us a call here in the Loveline Studios. Dr. Mark Gordon joins us, and so does Jordan Cordova, a patient of Dr. Gordon's. Dr. Gordon has been working on the study of, I guess, hormone deficiencies due to brain injury. Am I correct? Is that the kind
Absolutely
of main focus
correct.
Of what you've been doing? First off, thank you for joining us, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Jordan, you were in the United States Navy. Did you? How recently were you serving in the Navy?
I got out in 2009.
And where were you? Where were you? What do they call it? Deployed.
Deployed.
Yeah.
Al Anbar Province, Iraq.
Oh, that does not sound fun.
No, it's where all the stuff is going down again now. So.
And how did you come to be mixed up with Dr. Gordon? I mean, how did you come to receive? I would imagine trauma.
Yeah, what happened?
That would need you. That would necessitate seeing Dr. Gordon.
Well, being in combat is a very interesting situation. Yeah. A lot of the trauma that I received was—I don't know if you would call it micro trauma, but it was repeated trauma. A lot of tank blasts, a lot of C4 breaching.
What's that mean? What does that mean?
C4 breaching. It's like when you see the SWAT guys, they put on that sticky goo stuff.
Oh, I see. Breach. You're going to breach a building.
Breach a building. So a lot of pressure waves. A lot of machine gun fire, grenades going off, javelin missiles.
Oh, my God.
HEDP rounds, things that blow up and explode.
So, first off, honestly, Jordan, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, it really is an honor to have someone like you and any, of the brave veterans of the United States military to come join us. It's just an honor to talk to you, and thank you so much for your service.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
So, Dr. Gordon and Jordan, do you think that we overlook some of the
Wait, before you get to that, that's a good global question, but I want to know what his symptoms were that he first noticed.
Okay, that's a good question.
How did you start to know that there was – because you hadn't had – you probably had plenty of nasty blasts, but not one you thought, oh, I'm an injury patient.
No, being a corpsman, my job was to look out for my Marines. Yeah. So I was very cognizant of their
Everybody else's
traumas.
Injuries, yeah.
I actually had a Marine who was shot with the AK-47 round to the Kevlar. Instant concussion. I could tell he had his eyes were doing that.
Yeah.
And so I just knew, okay, that's what...
Right, that's traumatic brain injury.
Traumatic brain injury. We sent him out immediately. I forgot what his Glasgow coma scale was, but it was bad. He couldn't read for 3 days. He forgot how to read.
Yeah.
For me and a lot of other guys, it was just a slow drain of your system. It's like you're powering down, no sleep, no food, constant movement, and it just wears on you. The first symptoms I noticed is when I came back. It was just depression, no drive, no motivation, irritability.
Did you think you had PTSD at first?
No, I didn't know what I had because we were taught when you're taught about the symptoms of PTSD, it's very suicidal thoughts,
flashbacks,
trauma, and I had some of that stuff, but it was a later stage. Uh-huh. The very first onset of it was just I felt tired,
depletion.
A lot of so we needed some rest, we needed some relaxation, a lot of alcohol, self medication. Yeah. A lot of guys were that's how we medicated ourselves, alcohol. Okay. And then I realized 6 months in, it wasn't going away. It wasn't getting better. And I said, you know what? I'm at the point where I need to get help or I don't think I can go on at this level anymore.
Right.
And then I went to, being in the medical field there, I went to my battalion surgeon and he was put me on Wellbutrin right off the bat. They talked to you and they said, okay, we've had
guys. You're depressed.
You're depressed. We've had guys that use this and they've had good results. And I was on that for about 6 months, and then I switched over to Celexa, and I've been on that for the past 10 years.
And, Mike, then you were asked the question.
Well, I was going to ask if that's kind of maybe one of the basis of the problems of the brain injury is that we only look to – we meaning like lay people and people who are not studying the brain constantly. Do we just assume that only traumatic brain injury develops from intense trauma to the head as opposed to the day in and day out things that someone like you in war is dealing with? Things like maybe just training in hand-to-hand combat and being in the general vicinity of a big explosion and all these smaller kind of brain knocks that maybe add up. It's a cumulative effect.
Correct. What we perceive is that in order to have traumatic brain injury, you need to have this one significant insult to the brain, to the skull. And what we're finding is that, as with Jordan's case, is that a lot of micro-traumas, and I'm categorizing them into, you know, the military syndrome, because there are people who haven't had that one major insult or IED or fall or hit across the head, or in the civilian population being blunt head trauma, or people in sports having concussion from, you know, any given Sunday. But the one that is being missed frequently are these small traumas that are accumulation in the private sector, in the civilian group. I have a lot of people who have had automobile accidents or bicycle accidents or slip and falls that are minor. But over the course of their lifetime, they've accumulated into one major insult in the brain. And what appears to be happening is that the brain loses the ability to make its own hormones. We've always thought that hormones that end up in our brain come from our periphery, from the ovaries, from the testicles, from the adrenal glands, from the thyroid gland. But what we found, courtesy of a Dr. Bellou in France, is that the brain has its own enzyme system to make its own hormones in the brain. So testosterone is being produced in the brain. So estrogen, progesterone, and all these hormones that we've now called neurosteroids are very important in maintaining our personality and the function of the different areas of the brain that regulate how we respond to the outside world, an area called the limbic system or the amygdala. These are very important in dealing with rage, controlling our temper, how we interact with the world. Probably the most important area that's being traumatized is the frontal lobes, where you get problems with what we call executive function and how we decide what's right and wrong and doing sequencing and how we deal with adversity in a conversation. So someone picks up a pencil and points it towards you and you take a knife and kill them because you've misperceived.
Can I yeah, just interrupt for a second?
Sure.
That sounds like primarily the ventral medial prefrontal cortex.
Correct.
And that's where those little spiky bones are sticking up. So if you get an injury, you get the shearing there. Is that a large part of what's happening?
Yeah,
here?
That's the major part of it. And that's why we're seeing in probably 80% of the 85% of traumatic brain injury, we're seeing that area of the frontal lobes being damaged and leading to things
that, makes sense.
That we see also Alzheimer's disease. And when we look at comparison between Alzheimer's disease or a study that came out from the NFL about 3 years ago where they found that people who have had concussions, head trauma in NFL, they develop Alzheimer's disease 19 times faster in age 30 to 45 years of age because of that same area that develops its inflammation and damage from amyloid in the frontal lobes is the same area and the same process that happens in traumatic brain injury.
That's what boxers get, Mike. You're doomed.
Correct. It's like that, I unfortunately forgot his name, but that NFL player who he was trying to pull that stunt with his girlfriend's car, and he fell out of the car trying to jump on it.
Yep.
And when they examined his brain,
he had
a brain of a senior citizen with Alzheimer's. Yeah.
Yes.
It was, and he went around living his life as just like a normal human. No one would have ever known that.
There's now an institute that's just dedicated to this.
Yeah,
the NFL's taking it very seriously, finally.
If the NFL is taking it seriously, is the United States military kind of recognizing the hormonal aspects of what men and women deal with in war?
If you're asking me directly, I don't see it.
Okay.
I mean, maybe Jordan has seen it from his standpoint because he's active in the military base performing his medical services.
Oh, you're still working?
Yeah, I'm a government contractor.
So you got back. You were able to get back your energy and vitality.
I was able to fight through it because for me, I thought it was psychological. So I treated it as such. I treated it as, okay, I can't make any more excuses. I have to get my butt up at it and put it into gear. And for me, it was just that pure willpower. After I went to college, and I got a job. I'm a computer developer now.
Wow.
I have a wife, kid, and I did all that just through pure will. Just I thought it was psychological and something I could get over. Mm. And what I've done for the past 10 years, diet, exercise, trying to take a whole approach to it, I've made more gains in the last 2 months on this program than I have the last 10 years.
Fantastic.
And but at first, when you were identifying your problems, by the way, we're talking to Dr. Mark Gordon and also Jordan Cordova, veteran of the United States Navy, and we're talking about traumatic brain injury. When you were first kind of really capable of admitting that you were having these problems with yourself, I know that men in general have problems not only dealing with things like depression and anxiety. It's not macho really even to identify them, but it's got to be triple fold for a guy who is so tough as you. I mean, men in the military, men who have seen war, that's like, you know, that's a next level of perceived willpower and determination. You've been able to kind of will your way through so many unbelievably tough things. Did you feel like, hey, this is just another one of those things that I'm going to have to power through?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I thought it was just one of those things where it's, you know what, you're better than this. You can't be weak, and you need to get over it, basically. And that's what a lot of my guys, I think, they're doing that.
That's our basically bell.
Yeah.
They are not capable of making that decision to get over it because they don't have the ability in their brain to process it.
It doesn't make sense from a military point of view. It doesn't make sense that you would kind of go in these more abstract ways to solve the problem. It seems like you're typically, or you're trained to deal with things in a more direct way.
There's no one to fight.
Right.
There's no enemy to fight. There's no face to your enemy. It's internal. So you internalize it and you put it on yourself and you say, you know what? I'm just being weak. I can't let other people down. I need to hide this. And then we had other, you know, higher ups saying, hey, you got to keep this to yourself. If you're having problems, yeah, you should probably go talk to somebody. But then when you go to say, oh, I need some help, they would say, are you sure you want to talk to somebody? Because, you know, that might ruin.
It might compromise your career. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point. Wow. Fascinating. Dr. Mark Gordon joins us as well as Jordan Cordova talking about traumatic brain injury during warfare. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. MillenniumHealthCenter.com, the official website for Dr. Gordon. Later tonight during the open forum, we want to talk about unfortunate noises during sex, Dr. Drew. Troublesome noises.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I understand.
Lindsay got right on it. Don't worry.
Yeah. Dr. Drew unfortunately doesn't have to deal with this anymore, but he used to have to just deal with the sounds of a woman being torn in half, which are not, they're not pleasing, you know, because of the Pinsky meat plane. Sometimes meat plane. That's right.
It was a fuselage a few minutes ago. Yeah.
Well, the fuselage of meat plane.
I know.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. This is Loveline.
This is Loveline.
It's a groovy way of relaxing.
Sit tight. Loveline's coming back.
Hey, Mike, it's time for us to talk about our buddies at Stamps.com.
They are, in fact, our friends at Stamps.com.
Our friends. They are your friends because they prevent you from ever having to go to the post office ever again.
Yeah. I mean, Dr. Drew, you would go as far to say that the post office is ISIS.
No, I would not go so far as to say, but I would say the Stamps.com.
You say that all the time. You're just not willing to say that now.
You turn your PC or Mac into your own personal post office, and it never closes, and you can buy and print convenient official U.S. postage, any letter, any package using your own computer and printer. Then just hand it off to the mailman. And because of our special offer, it kind of makes me excited, Mike.
Yeah.
It never fails to impress. Use the promo code LOVELINE and you get the special offer.
Are you getting a reaction in your pants? It looks like it.
No, stop it.
That's how excited
you are. It's a $110 bonus offer. Includes a digital scale so you can calculate precisely what the amount is for any given letter or package.
Nice.
And then we just give you $55 of free postage.
That is so insane.
That's crazy.
I mean, it really is
crazy.
Too much, too good to be true, Dr. Drew.
But this is the fact. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in LOVELINE. That is stamps.com. Type in LOVELINE.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number to call us here in the Loveline Studios. Navy veteran Jordan Cordova joins us this evening, as well as Dr. Mark Gordon. TBIMedLegal.com. A traumatic brain injury that is incurred during battle and how it leads to hormonal deficiencies. It's a very interesting topic, and a lot of brave men and women of the United States military are dealing with these hormonal deficiencies due to traumatic brain injury. Let's get a couple calls in. Hello, Devin. No, wait, I'm sorry, Anderson. That was my fault. Sorry, Devin. Hold on one sec. Hello, Devin.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Recently I had a what I would consider an overdose. It was about 4 or 5 days ago. I experimented with Molly. It was a combination of Molly, and I'm also prescribed Adderall, which I take daily.
Jeez.
I had taken it in the morning, and I'd also taken it just before we took the MDMA.
Do you mind me asking why you considered it an overdose? Like, what happened?
Well, within about an hour and a half, we were walking back to where we were, our destination, and couldn't make it all the way. I remember looking to my girlfriend and saying, I did not feel well. My legs gave out. I collapsed.
Oh,
I blacked out. We got back into the room, and from there, it was about three and a half hours of me just basically going out, like, cold.
Why didn't you go to the hospital?
That's something we've been talking about.
You're lucky you survived, you understand? People get brain swelling, they get low sodium, they get malignant hyperthermia, kidney failure. You still ought to go get your kidneys and liver checked, by the way.
Yeah, that was another question I wanted to bring to your attention. I collapsed. I basically lost what felt like I lost feeling in my legs. And from then on, I remember only fragments of the next few hours.
Right.
This
wasn't really overdose. It was just sort of what happens.
Par for the course.
Yeah, par for the course, large dose of these substances.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wasn't sure of, like, the kind of term or what that would be considered, but apparently my eyes were all over the place.
What's your question?
What I wanted to know was what could I be facing here? Like, what could this cause?
Long term, you mean?
Yeah, the main thing is get your kidney checked right away, because there can be muscle breakdown. You can get some kidney injuries. So get that checked right away. The other thing is to make sure you had no persistent neurological problems or metabolic problems. But the main thing from MDMA is depression and memory problems down the road. And they sometimes don't show up for a while. The withdrawal, you know, the post MDMA effects, you feel like you've been hit by it with a 2x4. And I'm sure that's what you're feeling right now. And it is very similar. I don't know what you guys see, but it's very similar to traumatic brain injury, the kind of stuff we see way down the line from MDMA.
The other issues I've been having issues since, though. Since then, I've been having, like, twitchiness or, like, weakness in my legs.
You got to go talk to the doctor that's prescribing the Adderall and come clean, because you may need to get off that Adderall immediately, and I wouldn't tell you to do that without talking to your doctor.
Okay. I don't live in the same area as the doctor that I was seeing is out of state now.
Call that doctor. That's the person of record who's responsible for your prescriptions. Call that person.
Okay.
Unless you've gotten it on the street. Are you telling me you got it illicitly?
No, call that
person. Call that doctor.
Okay, and have him recommend somebody?
Well, or tell you what to do. Tell you what to do, because he's the one that is responsible. Okay?
All right.
All righty, dude.
all this MDMA stuff, these overdoses.
Like Wesleyan, quotes,
that's right.
Yeah.
Which is just, got a bad batch. No, you got a good batch. That's the thing. You got a whole bunch of MDMA. That's what will happen.
Can I interject something?
Yeah.
You know, we talk about traumatic brain injury as being a physical component where you're being hit. But literature talks clearly about things like chemotherapy, radiation exposure, certain drugs, certain medication that
hypoxia.
We take, hypoxia, ischemia. surgical procedures like what happened with Robin Williams. You know, he had in 2009, he had open heart surgery with repair of aortic valve, mitral valve, and restarting his heart. Prolonged surgery can lead to a deficiency or ischemia to the areas of the brain that regulate hormone production. What we're seeing in the literature is about depression coming from post coronary artery bypass, which is some 3,000 articles talking about it. In addition, there's a group of articles talking about decrease in thyroid hormone, functional thyroid hormone. You get an abnormal form of T3, which is the active form called reverse T3, which can lead to depression.
It's really strange. You know, it's so fascinating because the brain is such a complex piece of machinery. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just unbelievably complex. And how it kind of relates to everything else that goes on in your body. I mean, can we, you know, Dr. Gordon and Dr. Drew, is there any hope to fix physical maladies if you don't first kind of make sure that the brain's okay? I mean, wouldn't that be...
Go ahead.
Yeah, look, that's exactly right. The brain is the core computing unit of our entire body. You want to go and throw that punch, the brain tells you how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to touch something lightly, you want to smell something, it's all the brain. So if you have a dysfunctional brain for whatever reason, you're going to lose function from the neck down.
Is there something there in that how we always bitch about how we don't understand in this country, we don't really give enough credence to mental health?
Oh, God.
Is there anything?
Or they don't think about the brain is somehow the place that demons reside, which drives me out of my mind.
Right.
He is dealing with demons. No, that's like talking about you know, having a possessed pancreas or something. Yeah. It's the same thinking.
From my side, the question I always ask when I see people coming in on a multitude of medications, I ask the question rhetorically, where's the lamictal gland in the body? Where's the effexor gland? Where's the abilify gland? Where are these glands in our body? Why are we putting in chemistry into our body without understanding really what's going on in the brain? Why is it that, you know, people with schizophrenia, women with schizophrenia have low estradiol levels, and when they have normal low, better levels of estradiol, their schizophrenia is less? And guys, why don't we get schizophrenia like women do? Because we don't have that issue with the estradiol until we get older, and then there's a change in that hormonal balance.
Jordan, what was kind of the main physical difference once you were able to kind of correct the hormonal imbalances that were stemming from your brain injuries?
Physical?
Yeah. Did you notice these dramatic physical changes? Things like
I would say more than the physical, I would say the mental clarity that came with the prescriptions that I've been put on now. The protocol. It just seems like my mind was cleared. I can remember and recall things. I'm much more even now throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
My anxiety levels are low. Things don't set me off like they used to. Just, you know, someone, they have those questions and, you know, someone's asking you something you think is stupid.
You're not as irritable.
Not as irritable, exactly.
Is there any way we can get Dr. Drew on that protocol then? Because
how dare you?
You know, and
how dare
in
you?
Defense of Dr. Drew, he's a really smart guy that hundreds of thousands of people ask ridiculously dumb questions to. So
I don't feel irritable.
Tell him how your libido went. To be honest, you're remarkably patient for the most part.
I'm just thinking about you and the hormones you're putting on your testes these days. The creams. I wonder if that's enhancing your traumatic brain injury hormonal deficiencies.
Maybe.
You think about it?
Maybe. I gotta say,
Mike gets the blood clot off, or you get unconscious on a regular basis.
I get the air and blood cut off to my brain way more than most people do. Because most people,
I want to talk about that when we get back from the break.
Okay. When most people get choked out, they stop doing it.
Yeah.
I just continue to talk crap to gnarled, buff, roided out Brazilians. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Navy veteran Jordan Cordova joins us, as well as Dr. Mark Gordon, talking about traumatic brain injuries and hormonal effects. TBIMedLegal.com, the official website for Dr. Gordon, his work with the traumatic brain injury. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Give us a call here. It's Love Line.
Richer looking, better tasting, more appetizing.
Sit tight. Love Line's coming back. Hey, everybody. I don't know if you've heard, but your favorite website, Chive.com, now has words, and it's come in the form of our shiny new podcast right over at Podcast One. So join us. I'm John Rezik. This is Bob Phillip.
Hi.
Every Thursday for a mix of Chive culture, celebrity interviews, and offbeat current events. You never know who's going to drop by the studio, and you certainly never know what we're going to say to them. So it's the Chive podcast. It's total ear candy. There's no snark involved in this, and you can download it now at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.
Yeah, buddy. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number to give us a call here in the Loveline Studios. Dr. Mark Gordon joins us, as well as one of his patients, Jordan Cordova. A real honor to have Jordan here. He is a veteran of the United States Navy, and he fought bravely in Iraq earlier in his life. And now he is receiving a lot of the benefits of Dr. Gordon's work with hormonal replacement therapy to treat traumatic brain injury. Obviously, I think that it's paramount that we treat the men and women of the United States military and get, by any means necessary, get them to be as healthy as possible when they return from warfare. But are there other people, other runs of life, Dr. Gordon, that also might be needing this therapy? People that we may not – I mean, I think, you know, for just an average dude like me, I think of, okay, well, a football player and a boxer are going to need it. But are there people that we commonly overlook that should be looking to this therapy?
Absolutely. We're seeing in the office people who have had motorcycle accidents, mm-hmm. accidents from bicycles, slip and falls, roller skating, skiing accidents, water skiing, ice skiing, snow skiing, hockey, every form of activity that can lead to shaking of the brain.
Okay.
And we've had a patient who was rear-ended at 5 to 7 miles an hour, who ended up with frontal lobe-related issues and hormone deficiency. I mean, 5 to 7 miles an hour, that doesn't seem
right.
fast enough to create a problem. But they found that the linear, straight forward and back, or acceleration, deacceleration is what we call it, causes a lot of problems. The worst one is the side hit, which is why NFL put the rule, 48 in, to stop side impact hits, because rotation of the brain creates the greatest amount of damage to the regulatory system for the pituitary gland, which controls all the hormones.
Wow.
So everybody is prone to it.
And we all live such weird lives. I mean, I got to, you know, I got to eat a bit of crow. I live a more weird life than most people mm-hmm. in that I engage in stuff that probably screws with my
and
dome.
And you've taken stuff that screws with your dome.
Well, that's what I meant by, I was including that. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I'll never forget one of the first times.
I think your brain is like your teeth.
It's a genetic anomaly.
Yeah. It withstood a lot.
I'll never forget one of the first times Dr. Drew and I really talked off the air about my drug use, and he's like, "Well, when you're talking about certain drugs and a certain level of use, you can see some irreparable brain damage." And I was like, "When you say that, what do you mean?" He's like, "Well, when things like the hallucinogens and ecstasy, when you're using it more than 50, getting up there 50, 100 times, it's gonna." And I go, "What if you used it every day for like 5 years, both, and it just ate handfuls of sheets of acid?"
I just
and
stood there blankly staring.
And I really wonder what my brain must look like. But on a more important note, and I know it may be a tangent, but Jordan, there's so much going on, and I believe that there's. We live in a world where it's beautiful that everybody does get access to a lot of information and then can form their own opinions. But it does create, I think, a bit of a bitter kind of bemoaning world where people are encouraged to kind of be a little bit more cynical and negative than they are to be positive and stuff. And how do you, as a man who went overseas and fought in a war, how do you feel like we as a country – How do we as civilians are treating and are what we're doing for our veterans? Do you feel like there's enough? Do you feel like we're misguided? Do you feel like our heart's in the right place, but we're not just doing enough, or that there actually is a negative kind of undertone to how we treat the men and women of the United States military?
I've never been shown anything but respect.
Great.
From civilians and from people that know I've served. Just by looking at me, at any service member, you can't really tell that they've served or what they actually have or done or not done. So when someone recognizes you as that and they say, hey, thanks, I appreciate what you've done for me, that's a big deal to me. A lot of veterans that I've talked to, they don't like that. They don't like the being thanked. They think it's kind of annoying. Like, yeah, okay, you're thanking me, that's fine. But if you look at it from the point of them, it was something that they maybe wanted to do but never did.
Right.
And they see it as, you know, oh, thank you for doing what I couldn't do for whatever reason. So I've always seen it as a great thing. Negativity, I don't really see it. I'm from San Diego, though.
Yeah.
It's a big Navy town. So there's some places where they're like, oh, Navy, just get them out of here. They're crazy. They're going to mess up the place. But for the most part, if you're respectful, people are respectful to you as well.
That's fantastic. Because I do feel like, look, everyone's entitled to have their feelings on different military endeavors. And however you feel about that politically is one thing. But it's nice to know that, by and large, there is still an embracing environment for the men and women who go and fight. Because, you know, you and your brothers and sisters in the Navy and in other branches of the military, you don't really decide what, when and where you go. It's just part of your job.
We didn't know
a
week before what we were doing. Mm-hmm. When we got there, they didn't tell us anything. We just get there and they say, this is your objective, this is what you have to do, and we would do it. The thing was, I think a lot of the negativity does come from, I would say, veterans or people who have fought in a war,
mm-hmm.
because they know the brutality of war and what it does to you as an individual, how it can kind of break you down and change your outlook on life. The things I've seen people do to each other in war, civilians, these are Iraqi civilians, just heartbreaking. The things that they do with the children. We found abandoned children. Just, hey, we couldn't take care of you. We'd just leave you here. Just things that you say, like, this is humanity. This
right.
is what we do to each other. And it really makes you question, you know, what it means to be a human and who we are.
Right. And I don't know if anyone can properly understand or even try to understand what it's like, what you will see in warfare unless you've done it yourself. I don't even know if it's appropriate to try to understand it, unless you are someone who's been over and seen warfare.
There's a famous book about the Peloponnesian Wars. I forget which exactly, but there was one island that broke down into civil war, and it describes what you're talking about. And exactly those questions are brought up, like, what are humans capable of, and in these circumstances, anything.
Because I've seen one of my friends said the best thing, it's the best worst time of your life
from right.
combat. I've never laughed harder. And I've never cried harder than when I was in combat with when I saw my friends get gunned down in front of a house. Just the look on our faces, just the pain that we had for one of our good friends.
Sure.
We couldn't get to him. You know, and then the next day you're laughing over some stupid fart joke.
Whatever it may be, right.
Whatever it may be. So it's just these highs up and down. And it's really just life to its most extreme.
Right. Put on steroids, yeah.
Yeah. So it's when you come back, you just you do feel depleted. You feel like no one understands my pain. No one, you're complaining to me that your coffee is a little too cold right now. And it's like, you know, you just shut up.
My Wi-Fi doesn't work, Jordan. Yeah. Okay. I mean, what? That's serious.
So yeah, veterans do tend to have that. Combat veterans tend to have that negativity.
One last quick question before you guys have to unfortunately go is, do you feel like, on top of you're doing such an important job, when you are serving and fighting in a war, I think every guy, and I'm this is speculation, but I think every guy goes through a point in his life, whether you are a OR surgeon or you're a janitor, you go through a point in your life where you kind of question your purpose. And when you are essentially, you know, I'm not going to kid you, when you're helping to save the world, you're helping to keep peace in the world by fighting in a war, you are serving such a high purpose. So then when you come back to the world, do you feel like that purpose has been taken away from you? And is that why so many veterans kind of live in this in malaise and they get such depression and anxiety?
Well, what gets you through it is you don't fight for a doctrine when you're over there.
Uh-huh.
You're not even fighting for a flag or a uniform. You're fighting for the guy next to you, your friend, the person you grew up with in your training, and that's the person you want. So when you separate from the military, a lot of these guys separate months after they get back. They lose that friendship. They lose that connection. And it's just gone. And
it's all over so quickly.
So yeah. Quickly. And there's years of training, no, maybe a week of getting out.
Mm.
There's no transition to civilian life.
That is, it's just fascinating. And I don't want to, you know, feel like I don't want it to sound like I'm blowing smoke, but it is just such an honor to have you on the show, Jordan. I really appreciate all your service and all your, all the men and women of the military. It's just, what a debt of gratitude we all owe you for everything that you've done.
It's my pleasure.
And Dr. Gordon, thank you.
I'm so glad you found something that helps you, too.
Exactly, exactly. And yeah. Dr. Gordon, thank you for what you've done and how you've been able to discover your knowledge as a doctor and how it can be helpful to these brave men and women that serve in the military.
What's the website again?
Thank you.
It is tbimedlegal.com. And that is, again, a website you should visit if you feel like you may be suffering from...
just quickly, how about excessive drug use and that kind of thing? Those kinds of injuries, too? Or any kind of brain injury.
Any kind of brain injury from chemical can cause it.
Or trauma.
Okay,
or
there
trauma.
You go. Right. TBIMedLegal.com. It's now time for the open forum. Call us up and let us know about unfortunate noises during sex. That's what I'm talking about. This is Loveline.
Your opinions and insight.
Mother has old-fashioned ideas.
Well, I don't approve of it.
Here's tonight's open forum.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number to give us a call here. It's a short break there, man. Fascinating stuff. We will get back to the calls now. I apologize for those of you who are calling in about other things. Please do call in again after the open forum, but right now I would like to clear the lines and prepare for the open forum talking about unfortunate noises during sex. A interesting open forum because, look, there's a lot of noises that go on in sex, a lot of noises that happen during sex regularly that are encouraged, that are expected, but there are also, Dr. Drew, myriad noises that can happen that are not expected.
Well, last time we did something like this, there were...
We focused just on farts.
No, but a long time ago, people emitted animal noises, people vocalized in strange ways, people had burps and snorts, and dogs nearby made funny sounds that were unfortunate. So there could be all sorts of unfortunate things that happen during a sexual encounter of an auditory nature that may be associated with, what do we say, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
I was going to say emissions, but I don't mean emissions. I mean articulations. It's coming sounds.
Sound.
Auditory.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to know what, because I think there's some noises that naturally come from climax that would be considered
embarrassing.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. When I say vocalization, sometimes people this that came up a lot last time we did this. People were stopping and laughing.
I gotta say that usually is only that's reserved for guys because there's
in
no
response to
and
women.
I may be overstepping my boundaries here. I don't want to speak for all
you've
men.
Heard weird stuff on Stern Show.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for all men. But pretty much any noise you make as a woman's fine with me as long as you're making noise while I'm having sex.
Sometimes guys stop and laugh at it. It'll be distracting to them. You'll see. We've had that. But have you have any stories?
Girls have farted and stuff during accidentally just from the pressure, but
and you don't care.
Like, I just don't. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying like I'm above it, like I'm so mature, but
no.
I kind of understand that, like, during pressure, like putting pressure in that area, like stuff's going to happen. Yeah. I'm pretty darn immature, but that's one facet of life where I go, that's just nature.
Well, you're powering
nature.
Through, to be
yeah.
fair. I mean, you're powering along.
I mean, I've had girls. I had one girl kind of like start speaking in tongues,
see,
type stuff.
That's
like,
interesting.
Well, and like saying, calling people's names that weren't me.
Distracting, interesting.
You know, like she really went on a one of those like evangelical like fringe
tongues.
Yeah. No, but not even that. Like more like. Oh, damn, James, Tony, no, you're a bad boy, yeah?
Oh, like, that's trauma.
And she's like, almost like she was talking to voices in her head.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
didn't that make you like go,
No, it made me go, I better blow a load quickly so I can get the hell out of here. Because, like, I'm going to end up in this girl's freezer. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Unfortunate noises during sex. Hello, Marty.
Hi, yes. Hello.
Marty. What's up, Marty?
So, one time I was having intercourse with my boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And I had already come once, and it was great.
Fantastic.
And then the second time, he was, you know, going a little faster. And I started coming again, and for whatever reason, I was just like... So I was like, yeah, that's good. And I, like, just came out like a goat. It was the most embarrassing thing.
So, wait. What was the sound again?
I don't know if I can do it for you. Hold on. Oh, okay.
Woo! There it is. No. Dr. Drew and I high-fiving.
Come on. That's fantastic.
No.
It's fantastic.
It was awful. I wasn't quite aware of it, I guess.
If you were aware of it, you wouldn't have done it. Let's be fair. So, of course, we're not aware of it, but did your boyfriend just start laughing so hard he couldn't control himself? He did.
I actually don't know what he did. It was.
Wait! Don't hang up. One more time.
Okay. Yeah.
One more time.
Marty, a little bit, just a little bit more.
One more.
I'm sorry.
One more time.
One more time. No, are you?
Oh, come on now. It was fantastic. You made our night.
Yeah. What was your boyfriend's name? Or what is your boyfriend's name?
His name was. I don't want to give his name.
Well, you can give his first name. Give his first name.
John.
Okay, his name was Joel,
okay. Yeah,
that's right.
I'm going to be him, okay?
That's right, Marty. Yeah.
Number two.
You're going to get number two. Yeah, that's
oh,
right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Marty, you live.
You live.
You live so much. Hello, Rebecca.
Come on.
Hi. So this happens a lot. I have kind of a pretty big butt, but like when I get on top of a guy and I'm going pretty fast, it's like a slapping noise.
Oh, that's hot. No, that's good. That's good. You want that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to make the booty clap. That's like the goal of the girl. Every girl doing lunges and squats is to make the booty clap.
See, I don't know. It makes me feel like embarrassed, but I don't know.
That's like,
has any guy ever complained about it?
When your butt is smacking against a guy when you're riding him and it makes a slapping sound, you know what that is? That's God's applause. That's an angel's applause.
Yeah, no one's ever complained. I guess it's just me.
Yeah, you gotta get over that.
What's your ethnic makeup there, Rebecca?
I am completely white. Like, I'm a lot of different things, but they're all white. Like, I'm blonde.
Okay, so you're like a waspy mutt.
Yeah.
And what's your how tall are you?
I'm 5'3".
Oh, you little girl.
I'm 5'3", 130.
Oh, nice,
but I'm
thick.
Like muscular.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like 5'3", 130 is a perfect little blend because you're certainly not overweight or big, but you're certainly not too thin. You're a woman, nice sturdy woman.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
See?
What are those balls? What are those little paddles you get in Mexico where the ball is attached?
Doing, doing, doing,
yeah,
doing.
Yeah.
What are the, I don't know.
That's what I imagine doing to her ass. oh, no. We're talking about embarrassing or unfortunate noises during sex. Hello, Ray.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, one second, Ray. By the way, Mike, when you were gone last week, you were sick and stuff.
Yeah.
The thing we missed the most was you reacting to the calls before we put them on. Like, oh, my God. No one can recreate that quite that way.
I'm so excited for Ray's story. Go ahead, Ray.
Well, my wife farts pretty often. I mean, not like often, but, you know, often enough.
Good times.
During and after sex. And, you know, it used to kind of bother me. The other day, about 2 weeks ago, we're having anal sex. And then afterwards, we're in the shower together. And she ripped, like, the longest, loudest fart. Like, and it wasn't just the sound. It was just, the entire thing was humorous. It looked like something from, like, one of the scary movies or something like that. Where and she got, like, that same look on her face that Anna Faris gets. And we both get cracked. It was hilarious, man. And
it was post anal.
It was post, yeah. And it kept going and this fart had to be about a 38-second long fart. It was hilarious.
Did anything shoot out if it was post?
We were in the shower, so I couldn't tell you for sure.
Okay,
it's all good. All good. Good times. Good times.
Quite possible, but I'm not sure, man.
All right. Well, you are a great American.
Well, she is. She lives.
No, both him and her. I think he really put it to her. He jarred something loose.
How much is this topic not disappointing? Is living. This one's living.
Yo, you get props. Drew,
thank you.
Because this is all you.
With Goat this Girl is, called, I knew we were in.
Is she? Well, listen, the rest of the calls could have been
Anderson,
mumbling.
Can you please make a drop out of that so we can play it? Oh, yeah. You have it now for us by any chance? Oh, okay.
No, the rest of the calls could have been people gargling, and it still would have been a great open forum just from her.
Right.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Go ahead and give us a call if you have ever been the proprietor or the victim of an unfortunate noise during sex. We want to hear all about it right here on Loveline.
Loveline, helping people get unscrewed up for 30 years.
Dr. Drew is the best.
No lecturing, no sermonizing.
Loveline will be right back.
Come with me inside the machine and I'll show you.
From the Oscar-winning screenwriter of 12 Years a Slave comes television's most extraordinary new dramatic series. Starting Thursday, March 5th, watch American Crime live at 10, 9 Central on ABC. Then tune into the American Crime podcast hosted by me, Elvis Mitchell. Each week we'll have a candid conversation with show creator John Ridley, plus show talent, character storylines, and more. Go to podcastone.com/American Crime to subscribe now.
Yeah, buddy. 1-800-LOVE. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. A fantastic open forum brought to you by the mind of Dr. Drew Pinsky. Oh, that's a great sound right there. Maybe Anderson just didn't turn you on.
No. What the hell?
No, it's on.
It's on?
Yeah, you sound good.
Really? I can barely hear it. Courtesy of Goat Girl, though, too.
I'm being told that Goat Girl sounds a lot more like Maria Menounos laughing than an actual goat.
Yeah.
That thanks to Tanya Elizabeth on that their Twitter.
Do we have the Goat Girl drop by any chance yet, Anderson?
No, not yet.
Stop it, Tourette's Drew.
Just ask.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number.
Hang on. During the podcast, we were going to promote podcast, that is?
Mm-hmm. Well, good delivery. Okay. We were going to take a moment to get your calls. First, I was going to get the number to our radio show out.
All right.
That is based on calls.
Good.
So I wanted to say 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call. We are in the middle of the open forum. Unfortunate noises during sex is our open forum topic, so go ahead and give us a call. We have great calls on the line already, but we have lines open for you. And Let's take this moment to promote the excellent podcast done by the Loveline staff. Rune and Lindsay, our phone screeners, do the Pretty Oddcast, which is a podcast devoted to kind of more fringe lifestyles. More
interesting people.
Interesting people out there who do interesting things. And Anderson, of course, is like a real... He's like a tycoon of the podcast world with the Film Vault with Paul Bryan and Logan and his bun. And then, of course, the After Disaster, which was originally designed as like a Loveline after show.
Yes.
It has now turned into so much more.
But it was asked not to be anymore.
Well,
it's a small man who likes delis said, nah, that show should never be associated with Loveline because it's horrible.
I like delis, but I only want to pay for half a sandwich. So there you go. The After Disaster, Film Vault, and the Pretty Oddcast.
Thanks, guys. It's very nice.
You're no problem. Hello, Mario. How's Luigi?
You know, I've been getting that since kindergarten.
Yeah,
I'm 21 right now.
I know. I'm not very clever.
I imagine kindergarten was mostly when you got that. What's up?
All right. So my story was actually with my ex-girlfriend last year. It was more unfortunate for her, but it was more hilarious for me. So just a quick little info, you know, she was my second partner. She's had six, so I kind of assumed she was more experienced, but not really. Like, she had missionary down, like, 100%, but everything else was just, you know, a no-go.
Wait, what do you mean she had it down and everything was a no-go? You couldn't do any other positions?
No, she was open for it, but she had never experienced this. She didn't know what would happen or, you know.
So she had been with six other guys that only did missionary.
Yes.
What a weird world she lives in.
She only allowed that, maybe. But anyway, what's the question? What's going on?
All right. So what happened was, you know, I'm giving it to her doggy.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, with a lot of pressure, she's going to be, you know, partying, queefing, whatever. But, you know, throughout, you know, the sex, she queefed really loud and she stopped, screamed, "What the F was that?" And for some reason, she was upset or mad and she left the room. And as she was leaving the room, she was like, "Oh, this is SNBS. Oh my God, what the F just happened?" And I didn't see her for like a good 15, 20 minutes until she came back.
And she was not consolable or she didn't understand what had happened?
She did not understand what a queef was.
Oh. Well, yeah, and there's like a wide range of queefs. There's the like the little pressure queefs in, you know, that happens. But like chicks don't dig when they do the queefs that are such blasted, like their vag lips go like, yeah, like when they like horse like when a horse breathes deeply. Like, chicks don't dig that, you know? I do, yeah, of
men,
course.
Men generally do, but they assume.
I mean, I was fine with it. It sounds
of course men are fine with it.
Yeah. Listen, aliens could land in your vagina. As long as I can put my penis in it, too, I don't care. Guys don't care.
Yeah.
Guys exactly. don't care.
Yeah.
Stupid women. Oh no. Okay, we'll take that last. This is the one I was talking about, Drew. All this right. is such a fantastic call. Hello, Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I was, I have two of them.
Please.
One of them, we were doing missionary,
mm-hmm.
And we were getting at it pretty nicely. And all of a sudden, I heard a sloshing noise.
Okay.
And the best I could tell, it was her implants. That the liquid must have been moving around.
Wow.
I have no idea where else it could have come from.
That's fantastic.
That's crazy.
Did she have large implants?
She was, no, they were nice. They weren't oversized, but they were probably good solid C pushing into a D.
Wow.
And otherwise very trim. And, but that one, and of course I, you know, just quickly shuffled it off to the side of my brain and kept going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
What's number two? What's number two?
The other one was a different lady I was seeing for not too long, but she was on top of me, and we were going at it, and all of a sudden I heard kind of like a clapping noise. And I went, "What is that?" And she'd been a little heavier and lost some weight, and as best I could tell, her cheeks were flapping together.
That's Mike's favorite sounds. God's clapping. And by the way, the sloshing sound, your stomach can make that. It's called a succussion splash.
Mine does all the time.
It's called a succussion splash. And so that's the other thing that could have been, you know, she'd had a bunch of fluids before action.
Well, and I drink a lot of water and I don't eat a lot of food.
Yeah.
And I get that a lot. I get, you know, my wife's always like, well, like a hollow watermelon.
Right, right.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh no. That's going to be dark.
What the hell?
There's a lot of darkness on the phones right now. Hello, Mackenzie.
What up?
What up, yo?
What's happening? How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
All right, I got a pretty bad one.
Okay.
I was a super good-looking chick. I was partying down in Huntington. Brought her back to the house. We started having sex. I go down on her. And it was honestly the grossest thing I've ever smelled in my life. And I started gagging.
Yeah.
I start gagging, and she's, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I just played off, I'm just drunk, I'm drunk, blah, blah, blah. And I couldn't get past the back. I said, let's hop in the shower. We're going out in the shower, and then we get out, go back on the bed, and it's just still horrible. And she started crying and left.
Oh, no.
It was a bad thing. I didn't know how to go about it because I was kind of buzzing at the time, and I didn't have my manners with me, you know.
Well, I got to say, you went at it pretty gentlemanly from the start, because, like, to even think to go into the shower, like, is a pretty gentlemanly thing to do, as opposed to just, you know, let her know why you were gagging.
Or just throwing up right there.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. I called her back again just to see if it was, like, a one-time thing, and the next time it was just as bad, so I had to get
that
was it.
Terrible.
That was it.
Okay.
So yeah. If it was you guys, I want to know this. If it was you guys, how do you go about bringing that about, like bringing it up?
It's honestly, I gotta say, and I'm not trying to sound like, you know, listen, I'll be very honest with you. It really depends on what the girl looks like.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not. Why is that so bad to say? I mean, listen. All right. If Hannah Davis on the cover of that there Sports Illustrated, if she smelled like a sewer wrapped in Indian food, I'd still be like, let me figure out a way
you'd
to get around.
You'd actually not smell it.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You live.
Right.
Yeah, buddy, you live.
He so lives. Oh, I just passed away. this is a great American. Hello, Christian.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, I'll just get straight to the point. I was a one-night stand, going great. We were going doggy style. And as I climaxed, I farted really, really loud. She turned around and apologized to me, thinking she'd queef.
Oh, you, of course, let her take
you
the blame.
You keep your mouth shut, yeah.
And I actually said, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it.
You live. This is about as dark as it gets. Hello, Justin. Justin?
Hey, guys, sorry, what's up?
No problem, dude. Tell us your unfortunate noise during sex.
I don't know if it's ever happened to you guys, but, like, I had a girl that I was sleeping with for a couple months, and a couple times she got so emotional, like, after we finished that she, like, started crying.
Yeah, that happens. And for a variety of reasons, too.
Yeah.
And, like, and for some reason, like, after I finish, I kind of, like, want to stay away. Like, you know, I'll get up and smoke a cigarette, and then I'll go back in, you know, because I need, like, a second for myself. But then, you know, I'd come, and she'd, like, she'd yawn on my chest, you know, crying, and just, I wasn't into it at all. It killed it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's really, like, if you're not intimately connected with someone that you're intimate with, and then they bring in a moment where it needs, like, a lot of intimate connection, that's really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is really the downside, the big downside to one-night stands and friends with benefits or whatever, is that if, for some reason, like, a sincere moment of tenderness happens to be introduced, you can't deal with it. You're not there, yeah. You know? And
it gets weird.
Yeah. All right, dude. Well, thank you for the call.
No problem.
Wait, anything to finish up with? Come on, anything there? Because it's such a good topic.
Larry?
Yes.
Tell me your story. This is interesting. Go ahead.
So, me and my ex-wife, you know, we're going at it, and it was going doggy style. And she decided she wanted anal. Mm-hmm. So I go to switch, and I start going in, and she lets out a nice, powerful queef.
Yeah.
Problem was, this queef was so powerful, it actually shook my legs.
I love that. I love the queef that's like a percussive blast, where it just, it, like, he's woozy.
It's like those guns.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Your wife queefed a flare gun.
Oh, my God. Well, there you go.
Where's he calling? Larry, where are you calling from?
Grass Valley.
Where's that?
It's east of Auburn.
Auburn, Georgia?
California.
Oh,
California.
Where's Auburn, California?
East of Sacramento.
Okay, Sacramento, so right. Up in the Sacramento area, okay.
Chino.
Yeah. Did you say Chino?
Chico.
Okay. I'm going to have to re-educate Dr. Drew on California.
Chico's up there, right?
Chico is very much up there. Yeah.
What city was it that he was talking about how great it is?
Rialto. Yeah.
Rialto.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful Rialto.
And then I said, Drew, you're insane. And then even people in Rialto, on the phone in Rialto, they're like, Drew, you're crazy. Right. This is hell. All
right.
And then he goes, I go, yeah, I'm thinking about moving out to Topanga. He's the drive! And it's and I'm like, Drew, what are you talking about? He's like, well, you're out there by the two and the... I was like, Topanga Canyon's in Malibu. Oh, then I talk about Tarzana.
Tunga.
Thanks, Drew. Yeah. The draw! 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Give us a call. Now we're going to take your calls regarding anything you want. Anything? That's right, anything. Right here on Loveline.
Sorry, that number is no longer in service. You'll have to find a new boyfriend.
Loveline's coming back.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, Mike.
I pretty much, I never bought anything online in my life until I met my wife.
Oh,
and,
seriously?
Now all I do is go to Amazon.
Yeah, I buy pretty much everything on Amazon. And if you want to support somebody that has an affiliate relationship with Amazon, you go to their website, you click through the Amazon banner, and at zero cost to you, Amazon shares some of the purchase price with the affiliate.
Why are you being so nice about it and saying somebody with an affiliate relationship?
You're right, Mike. I should be more specific. Forget an affiliate, some vague affiliate. Let's go to Podcast One, where you can find the Loveline podcast, the Loveline page. Bookmark that page and just click through on the Amazon banner located at the top of the homepage. You can even use the Amazon banner if you're in Canada or the UK. Makes it easy for all future purchases. Again, it is podcastone.com. Click on the Keep It Free banner to support Amazon and all the wonderful sponsors that make the show possible.
Yeah, it's Loveline, everybody. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Hello, Jesse. I wish I had your girl.
Hey, what's up, man? I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yes.
I'm 23 years old, and I've been dating someone for about 6 months now. And the relationship is well. Everything is good in the relationship. But
does she or he have a throat? Because you need to borrow it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So I was wondering, I lately, for like the past couple months, I've had like urges to have sex with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Someone told me that they might be symptoms of me being a sex addict because last week I did do something with somebody else and I can't stop the impulse to continue it.
Whoa. Let's not jump to conclusions here.
Yeah, why don't you just break up with the one that's supposed to be your girlfriend and see what happens? All we know you're doing is, we don't know that you're a sex addict. All we know so far is that you're doing hurtful things to somebody.
That's the thing, but what are the symptoms for somebody becoming like that? Because this isn't the first time that it happened. I was in a relationship before.
Go to the website. You may be sabotaging, again, the relationship. That doesn't mean
or
sex.
Or you may just be a guy who's not ready to be in relationships. Right. You're just a horny dude.
Website Center for Healthy Sex. Centerforhealthysex.com. And they've got screening instruments there. You take the test and you read about the potential and what the diagnostic criteria are. And you'll see you're not that.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
When does it differentiate from
website. I'm telling you what to do. Write it down.
Center for Healthy Sex, you said?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And that's where you'll differentiate it. You will make that differentiation.
You make it.
You will live.
Hello, Miguel.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, so I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I got my brother. He's 19. He's on his first boyfriend right now. They've been together for about 6 months. He's gay. And this is obviously his first one. And he's really, really dependent on the guy, like emotionally. Like, it was really hard for him to come out of the closet, and he just had a tough time with it, and he kind of poured all of, like, his happiness into this guy. And the guy is really cool. He's a cool guy, real nice, class act, but I have a feeling it's not going to work. And they've broken up once for, like, a couple days and then got back together, but you could see, like, the seeds of the breakup already happening.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm trying to figure out what's a good way to approach him about, like, I'm not saying, like, hey, you guys are going to break up, but, like, hey, if you guys do break up, it's going to be okay without him totally flipping out on me or, like...
How old is he?
He's 19.
Mm. Just start talking to him about how hard it is to deal with the loss of the first love. It's always hard for anybody, right?
Yeah, I tried that, and he started saying all, like, typical, like, things I heard, like, from girls in high school, like, oh, I want to marry you, and, like, I can already envision our life together, and it's just, like, oh, man, like, I'm trying to, like, fill him in on like, what he missed out in high school, because obviously he didn't date anybody, because he was just so closeted,
yeah.
But now he's out there, and this is his first long-term boyfriend, and he just poured everything into it, and...
You've repeated that a couple times, we get that.
Oh, yeah, sorry, and the breakup happened about, like, a month ago.
How's he doing?
And he was just... He was a wreck, but once they got back together, it was instant. He was fine. And
good.
That's why...
Good.
If it does happen again, I want to be prepared for this one.
Well, it's not going to be... You know, the first one's always the toughest, right? He's getting that way every time he gets in a relationship, you've got to get him the love addiction literature. It's a book by P.M. Melody called Facing Love Addiction. Get him that book. It wouldn't hurt him to read it anyway if he's sort of prone that way.
Yeah, there's no downside, even if he's not.
Get that book, let him read it, and you'll see maybe how he operates in relationships. He'll calm it down a little bit and not seek out such intensity that it's potentially harmful for him.
Let's see here. Let's talk to Daniel. Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
What's up?
Well, I had just got the tail end of the discussion in regards to traumatic brain injuries.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I realize this is a love line, and I was just wondering if you guys had discussed or if Dr. Drew was familiar with traumatic brain injuries, if there might be some correlation with sex drive and brain injury.
Sex drive usually goes down with that. If it goes up, there can be a sort of something called a Kluver-Busey syndrome where there's de-repression because of a frontal lobe injury, but usually it goes down.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, it seems like it's gone down.
How'd you receive traumatic brain injury?
I was a victim of a violent crime.
Oh, my gosh.
I got hit over the head when I was asleep.
Oh, my God.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm sorry. Of course, I am not the doctor here, but I can imagine that if you got a serious head wound, you got cracked over the dome, that could certainly impact your libido.
Yeah, it can affect your mood. It can affect your arousal systems of all type. And Dr. Morgan, who we just sent here, was talking about supplementing men with these kinds of symptoms with hormones or things that really actually accelerate their testicular production of things like testosterone.
So you might want to check his website out. What was it?
TBI Med Legal. That's T as in Tom, B as in boy, and I as in intelligent. TBIMedLegal.com.
Yeah, I'll definitely do some research in that regard. When I heard the tail end of it, I heard you guys discussing something about that, and I have some interest in it, and I'm gonna do some research.
Maybe. Good. Go to that website. Go to that website.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Go ahead and give us a call if you have a question about anything. We will always do our best. We cannot guarantee anything along the lines of results, but Dr. Drew and I will always do our best. That is a 100% guarantee. There she is.
Speaking of our best.
Yeah, that was the best.
That's our caller of the night.
That's who. I don't know where that noise came from. It just came out of me because he's making me come for a second time.
That's her goat's out. She's a goat girl. She's the best.
Goat girl. Goat girl. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
Takes 1-800-LOVE-191. 1-800-LOVE-191. Start punching in the numbers now so you're ready when Loveline returns.
Tune in on Real Self-Knowledge.
Anderson lives. Goat girl lives.
Goat girl lives. Goat girl. Goat girl. Goat girl lives. Goat girl. Goat girl. Goat girl. Goat girl lives.
That's her. That's
hello,
her.
Michael.
Oh my God, she's so good.
Hello.
Yes.
Thanks to you guys, I'm going to be seeking therapy pretty soon for a number of issues. My first appointment this Friday. Mainly the issues are depression and codependency, and I also purchased that book by P.M. Medley, and I've read a couple pages on it, and I agree with that I fit most of the things that happen in it.
Man, that's awesome. Excellent.
Yeah, thanks. And one of the other issues is I believe that I have a binge eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not entirely sure if that's a real thing because I just recently heard about it, but I guess my question is to Dr. Drew, which one of these issues should I focus on first in treatment?
It's not up to you. To go get an evaluation first, and they'll tell you what.
Okay.
And,
all right, thank you.
Well, it's easy. I mean, you just go make sure you see somebody that's really trained to do a full evaluation. So you want somebody with a doctorate, PsyD, PhD, MD, okay?
Okay. I guess I'll have to get a referral then because it's an MFT, and there's not a whole lot of therapists in this area. So
yeah, well, better you get started than not. I mean, see, maybe that person will have some ability to assess you. I want to see you get started more than anything. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. All right, dude, thanks for the call. Hello, Brian.
Hello. I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah, buddy.
Yes,
about I'm having trouble trusting women or females in general, because in one of the past relationships that I've had, I got cheated on, and she actually cheated on me with 9 other guys.
Oof.
And
at the same time?
Yeah, at the same time.
She took 9 penises at the same time.
Yeah, and it sucked, and it was really bad because I had to hear about that from my girlfriend's best friend.
Ugh. So was she raped or something?
I have no idea, to be honest, but I just wanted to see if there's any possible way you could help me trying to get into trust women better or at all again after what has happened.
How long ago did you find this out?
It was about 7 months ago or so.
Well, have you been able to date at all?
I've tried, but it hasn't really worked out much for me.
Maybe you ought to talk to somebody. It's been more than 6 months. You've tried to date. You seem unable to open up, reasonably so. It's pretty traumatic going through something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I would definitely go talk to somebody before. I'll see if you can kind of get through this.
For sure.
Okay. If you, the only other option is to go out and maybe not focus on, you know, sleeping with somebody or getting a relationship, just go out and kind of hang with people and see if you can start to get close again. But then, of course, as soon as you feel vulnerable, you're probably going to shut down. So,
wait, who are these guys, though? How does that happen?
I have no idea. Apparently, her friend told me that she met at least, like, 4 off the internet and 2 from a couple of her friends and maybe a few more. I don't know.
What period of time was that?
Maybe about halfway through our 3-month relationship.
So for over 6 weeks, she was with 9 guys. Did you just cut off or something? Where'd he go?
9 guys just stuffed their penises in. Just,
well, my point was going to be is that this girl sounds very, very ill.
Yeah.
Sounds really, really wrong.
Yeah, I'm not passing judgment on how you live your life, but that does seem like a bit excessive.
Well, when she's supposed to be in a relationship and she's doing this on the side, either he misunderstood what the relationship was or she was manic or sex addicted or drug addict or something.
Hello, Matt.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Yeah.
Hey, all right. So, about 3 days ago, it was the early morning. I had like my first like one night stand.
Sweet.
And yeah, maybe not.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because, there was a bit of drinking involved earlier. And, when I woke up, I noticed, I went up to go take a shower. I noticed that I didn't have any protection on. I looked all over for the damn thing, couldn't find it. And I'm really starting to believe that I wasn't wearing any.
Okay.
Because now I have, like a real cold sensation, like in my testicles.
That's your anxiety. What do you mean a cold sensation in your testicles? That's nothing.
Really?
Your testicles feel cold?
Yeah. Like it's just cold.
No.
They've been like that for maybe probably since yesterday.
That's your excessive preoccupation with that whole region. The only thing you can get on your testes would be herpes, and that burns.
Yeah, nothing burns. It doesn't like burn. It doesn't like burn when I pee. And I even went to go see my doctor right after, and he says that it would even be like too early to tell, even if I did have anything.
Right, that's true. But the only thing you get in your testes you need to worry about burns on the testes. So forget it. That's your anxiety. If you keep feeling that way, you got to get on some medication because actually. People with OCD will get these weird preoccupations.
Get out.
What? What are you saying, Aaron?
Why are you talking on the radio, Aaron?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
How's it going, guys?
Who are you talking to?
Oh, I'm just talking to my brother.
Oh, your brother's a good man.
He's a good man. He listens to me all the time.
Okay. Well, very nice of him.
What is she going to say in front of her brother?
My question for you guys. I'm 22. And I just got into a relationship with my boyfriend. It's been about a month. And, things at my house and things at his house kind of been going, getting a little tense. It's the tight quarters. I'm sharing with my older sister now. She moved back in. And, I wanted to like kind of get out and move out and kind of do my own thing. And he does too. So we're going to try to move in together.
Okay.
We're waiting. Yeah.
Oh, I just had questions like how do I deal with like the anxiety of living with somebody new and.
Didn't you say your sister is moving out?
No, I'm moving out. My sister moves back in, and it's been really like really tight living quarters.
So you're moving out with this boyfriend?
Yeah.
How long have you been with the guy?
A month.
No, yeah, you're not gonna do that.
Don't do that.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of already in the process of it.
Okay. Then what'd you call for?
I just wanted a relationship advice on living with somebody.
It's not a good idea to do a month in.
Not at all a good idea.
That's our advice.
Terrible idea 1 month in. Maybe make sure, I guess, you each have your own room or something, because if it doesn't work out, it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, you honestly, you just don't know this gentleman very well. And it's yet to see if you're even good to be in a relationship with, let alone share a home.
Right.
It's playing house, and it's a big deal.
Well, I mean, it's a two-bedroom place, so...
Right, so if you have... I mean, Drew said, if you have your own room...
I guess if things don't work out, you can retreat to your own room.
And, yeah, but it's always pretty painful. But, man, how uncomfortable.
Yeah. But then again, after all, she's only been with the guy for a couple of months. How bad is it going to be? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, also having that, like, that friendship before, like, the kind of, like, building the foundation. Like, we're not,
yeah, but
we're
I
not
understand.
Going into it thinking
but,
it's all going to be, like,
but
know,
but even friendships that are have been going on for a long time go south very quickly when people move in together. A lot of really good friendships go south quick.
Yeah, I kind of get that. I'm, like I said, I'm just getting a little nervous about it.
We are
know?
Too.
We are too.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, listen, maybe it'll work out. But
maybe you guys have a real talk. Wait, I have an idea. Maybe you have a real honest talk with them about, hey, we are jumping into this awfully fast. What is our plan if this doesn't work out? We need a not that we're planning for it to fail, but we need to agree now exactly how that's going to work out so there's no horrible, horrible misery if we're stuck together in ways that we don't want to be. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Just have an honest conversation with them.
All right. Thanks, all right. Guys.
Thank you. Big show tomorrow.
As always.
Yeah. Thank you to Dr. Mark Gordon and to Jordan Cordova for coming in. That was definitely interesting
it's
radio.
It's important to dedicate some time to that.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to dedicate more Loveline shows to
military.
Yeah, to issues that the military deals with. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that certainly was fascinating. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number, as always. If you couldn't get through tonight, no matter what your question is, please do. We always encourage you to call back. We'd love to get
Goat Girl, please call again.
Goat Girl, call all the time. Goat Girl, call me personally. And you know, we oftentimes we wish we could get to every single call, and sometimes we just can't. There's only 8 lines, and there's only so much we can do. But we encourage you to call. That's what the show's for. So if you couldn't get through again tonight, please do call on another love line. In this crazy mix-up world that makes you think that nobody cares, remember, we do. Be good.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station.
Loveline.
Loveline is produced by Ann Ingold. Engineered by Anderson Cowan.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.